we're going to probably conclude on the thought that we've been on for the past few weeks of what are you willing to go through in order for God to get glory? And maybe not even so much that as whenever you go through, whatever you go through, can we stop in the middle of that and say, God, I don't like what I'm going through, or you know, if it happens to be something that we feel is negative in our life. God, I don't like what I'm going through, but while I'm going through this, help me to find ways to give you glory. Help me to use this trial in order to point somebody else to the cross, or help me to use this in order that somebody else may see how good you really are. Don't let me be a fair-weather Christian. Don't let me be someone that serves God and worships God and tells everybody how good God is when my bank account's full, when my belly's full, when everybody at home is doing good. And then if things take a turn and everything don't seem like it's going to your way, God, don't let me turn my back on you. God, don't let me, even if I may be questioning in my heart, and God, if I may not understand exactly what you're doing, help me still to be searching for your will in my life and searching, saying, okay, God, I'm in the middle of this, and I know on the promises in your word that you've told me that you'd never put more on me than I can bear, that you'd never leave me, that you'd never forsake me. So God, while I'm in the middle of this, I'm obviously here for a reason. God, help me to see that purpose and let me use that purpose to give you glory. So in Romans chapter number 8, is where we're going to start reading tonight. Verse number 31. I love the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 8, verse number 31. I may not get farther than this first verse right here. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Nobody, nothing, there's absolutely nothing that can be against you if God is for you. Now look, that does not mean that if you're standing for God and you're trying your best to live for God and you're doing everything that you know that you're supposed to be doing, that things are not going to come against you. They are. For one thing, the devil is going to come against you and try to stop you. The devil is going to come against you and try to kill your excitement. The devil is going to come against you and try to get it to where you are questioning God. Your joy is not what it should be. Your peace is not what it should be. This verse is not saying that things will not come against you, but it's saying that those things are not going to prevail against you. There's no way possible that anything in this world can come against you and be of success if we follow God, stand for God, and if we're trusting in God. If God be for us, what can be against us? Your finances, they may not be great. Your job may not be great. Your family situation may not be great. Anything that you can think of that can feel like it's coming against you may feel like it's coming against you, but if we'll stop for just a minute and see that God is for us and look at the promises that God has given us in His Word, there is nothing in this life that can come against us and be successful, because I have found out if you read the back of the book, you can see that you win. No matter what, you win, whether it be through death, whether it be through the rapture, whatever it is, if you're trusting in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if God be for us, what can be against us? Verse number 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He says, this God that loved us so much, that gave his only son, his only begotten son, this God that loved you so much, and of course we know the scripture that says that while we were yet sinners, but God commended his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for us, that God gave his son for us while we were sinners, while we were unlovable, when we might not have been what everybody would have chosen to be with, God loved you in that state so much that he gave his only son. So if he didn't withhold his son from you, what in the world makes you think that he would withhold anything else from you? He's already given you the best. So he's definitely going to give you everything else that you could possibly need. Verse number 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Excuse me, verse number 34, who is it that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Boy, I'm glad that he stuck that in there, ain't you? Hey, he said, who is it that is Christ that died? Well, I'm glad that it didn't stop there. It didn't stop with Christ dying. He says, but yea, rather. He said, let me tell you the other side of that. Yeah, I can tell you about Christ dying. I can tell you about Christ loving us so much that he gave his life on the cross. I can tell you about them driving nails in his hands and nails in his feet. I can tell you about him plucking his beard and putting a crown of thorns on his head and making fun of him and spitting in his face. I can tell you about them laying him there on the cross and putting a superscription above it, putting him a label over him just to mock him and make fun of him. I can tell you about all those things. I can tell you about him being there on the cross and saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I can tell you about him saying, it is finished, and giving up the ghost. He says, it is this Christ that died. He said, but I can also tell you about that third day when those ladies went out to the tomb, and there was an angel sitting there that said, why seek ye the living among the dead? He says, I can tell you about this Christ that died, but yea, rather this Christ that has risen again. Who is it that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God. And it's not that he just rose again, but he's sitting beside Daddy in heaven today. He said, it may sit at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. That is sitting there talking to God on your behalf and on my behalf. He is there just waiting to hear from us and go to God and saying, look, one of our children needs us. One of our children needs this. And, you know, all of this is being written by a man who was persecuting Christians just a few chapters before this. Verse number 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? We may not get to the real point tonight. I don't know. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No. Or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Who in the world can separate you from the love of Christ? Or what in the world can separate you from the love of Christ? Well, first of all, he's untold us, no matter what comes against you, it's not going to be successful. Verse number 36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. All of these things that can come against us, but they cannot be successful because we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Verse number 38, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm glad that there is nothing that nobody or nothing can do about my salvation and my relationship with Jesus Christ. Y'all can get mad at me tomorrow and you can run me out of here. I'm still saved. My wife can go home tonight and she can say, I'm tired of putting up with you. I'm tired of you not taking out the trash when you're supposed to. I'm tired of you not remembering to do the things that you're supposed to do. I'm out of here. I'm still saved. I can go to work tomorrow and they can lock my office door and not let me in. They can run me out. They can do whatever they want to. I'm still saved. There is nothing that nobody can do about my salvation and my relationship with Jesus Christ. He says, I am persuaded that none of these things shall separate us from the love of God, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. See, you know, there's things in my life that could separate me from God. Because he tells us in his word that sin is what can separate us from God. That sin is what can drive our relationship away from God. And I believe with all of my heart that still stands true even after I'm saved, that if I allow sin into my life and I become a slave to sin and I let those things come to my, that it separate, not, listen, it don't separate me from the love of Christ. It does not change my salvation, but it sure does hurt my relationship with God. But I'm so thankful that he looks and he says, but I still see the blood of my darling son in your life. I still see that you accepted what he did for you on the cross at Calvary. And that's what cannot be separated from me and God. Verse number 1 of chapter number 9. Now listen, he's just told us that we're more than conquerors. He's just told us that nothing else can come against us and be successful. He's just told us that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And again, this is Paul writing, who we know at one time was Saul, who we know at one time that was persecuting the Christians, and he has been completely transformed. He has been converted. Man, don't you love to see it when people make a profession of faith and you can watch God completely transform their life? You know, I don't, and it's not for me to judge. The Bible tells us that we can know a tree by the fruit that it bears. But it's not for me to judge whether somebody gets saved or not. But it sure does make me a lot more confident when I see people come to know Jesus Christ and their life completely changes. It goes 180, it goes the opposite direction from the way they were going. You can tell that they have become a new creature. So Saul here has become a new creature and been Paul. Verse number 1 of chapter number 9. Listen, he just told us that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. And he said, what I'm telling you, he said, I mean it. I'm telling you the truth. that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Now, wait a minute. In chapter 9, verse number 2, right after Paul tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God, that none of these things can come and be successful against us. I don't know if y'all could tell, but that kind of fired me up. I enjoy reading this Romans chapter number 8. I enjoy the promises that God gives us here. And you would think that Paul would be excited. You would be thinking that he could look back and remember being on that Damascus road and how God changed his life. You would think that he could look and say, man, now I have these promises and everything's wonderful in my life. But I want you to see what he says, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. And we read that and we go, well, what in the world could he be so sad about? Why could he have such heaviness in his heart? Why could he be in a place that after he just gave us these promises, that he just revealed to us in the writing, these promises that we just read, how that God, that nothing can come against us, we're more than conquerors, all of these things, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And then he says, but I'm so heavy and sorrowful in my heart. How in the world could he say that? Well, let's continue reading. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Paul had a deep burden for his people. He had a deep, see, after Paul was converted, he now was considered a traitor. Because this man was a man that was persecuting Christians. This man was a man that was standing strong for the religious crowd. This man, I mean, we know that he held the coats for the men that stoned Stephen. And yet God loved him so much to reveal himself to him there on the Damascus Road. And Paul knows exactly where his people, how they're thinking, how they're feeling. He knows exactly where they are in their mind and their hearts in their relationship with Christ. He understands that they look at Christ and they have this desire that he's not the Christ. And he says, and I wished I could myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren. Now see, he's told us that there's absolutely no way that there's nothing that can separate him from the love of Christ. But he said, I wished that I was in order that my brethren could see. You know, again, I believe that Paul was even enduring some trials right here. I believe that his life was not perfect by no stretch of the imagination. He was seen as a traitor. He was being persecuted. You can go back and read and you can see where they desired to kill him because of the stance that he had taken for Christ. And yet he says, I wish that I was accursed, or I wish that I had my relationship with God wasn't there in order for my brethren. See, sometimes I know that that's the kind of love that I'm supposed to have for lost people, but you know what? We get so comfortable in our own salvation. We get so comfortable in our relationship with God. I get caught up in Romans chapter number 8. I get caught up in God's love for me is so awesome and so wonderful, and there's nothing that can separate me from the love of Christ. I get caught up and I'm more than conquerors through Christ. I get caught up and there's nothing that can separate me from the love of Christ. I get caught up in that I forget that there's a lost and dying world going to hell. I come into a comfortable church where the temperature is just right, unless my wife has got me dressed like some kind of lumberjack or something tonight, and I'm about to sweat to death up here. I got too many clothes on. This flannel's hot. I come into a nice, comfortable church. We sit on nice, comfortable pews. We smile to one another. We handshake. Some of us hug, some of us don't. We tell each other how we appreciate each other. Church is wonderful. Had I don't know how many babies that we dedicated Sunday. I didn't even count them. 7, 8, 9, somewhere in that area. Had baptizing. Wonderful day in the Lord. But who have we told about Jesus Christ since Sunday? Where is that in our life? Now look, Paul, he had it so much. He says, If I could, I would wish myself accursed. I would wish myself not with that relationship, so that somebody else, And I'm glad that Paul realized that that wasn't possible. I mean, he just told us in Romans chapter number 8, this is not possible. He knew that it wasn't possible, but he says, I wish that I was there if my brethren could come to know Jesus Christ. And I'll just be honest with you, as long as me and my four are saved and going to heaven, my desire for the lost has not been what it should be. My desire to tell others about Jesus Christ is not what it should be. Paul, he says, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Not that, well, I get a burden for one person, but I believe that Paul told everybody that he come in contact with about Jesus Christ and the love that Jesus Christ had for him. I believe he told them about this Christ that died, yea, rather that rose again. But yet I get so comfortable in my salvation and my relationship with God that I forget to give God glory and to point others to the cross of Christ. See, even I sometimes get to where I say, you know what? I'm thankful. I don't know why in the world God called me to preach. I ran for a long time, didn't want to preach, but I'm thankful that God has allowed me that opportunity. But sometimes I get to where I think, well, this is what I'm called to do. It's pretty comfortable here. Y'all will amen me a little bit. You'll smile at me. You'll shake your head or shake your head and nod your head. You're with me. You'll come out and tell me, good job, good message. And all that's good, and that's wonderful. We need this. Christian people that don't want to go to church scare me to death. I don't know why in the world you would not want to gather with brothers and sisters in Christ who are like-minded and worship the one true God. Do I believe that you can be saved and not go to church? Yes, but why in the world would you want to? Why in the world would you not want to be somewhere like this? But when we come in here and everything's good, that's wonderful. But you know what God's really called me to do? Is to take His word out here to a lost and a dying world. You know what God's really called you to do? It's not to sit on a pew in Fellowship Baptist Church. It's not to lead the choir, to play the piano. I'm just using people. Sorry. It's not to be a deacon. I mean, I believe that's a calling. But you know what God's called us to do more than any of that? Is to get out here and tell people about Jesus Christ. I'm not doing that. I'll tell them about a plumbing part. I'll tell them about a deer that I seen. I'll tell them about my boy putting up 15 points in a basketball game last night. I'll tell them about how good the church is doing. But I don't tell them how much Christ loved them, that He loved them so much that He gave His life for them on a cross. That's where I'm failing. And you say, well, preacher, what in the world are you? Are you just trying to scold us tonight? Absolutely not. You know, it's just like when we were lost, and if you stay lost, that's completely one thing. But when you realize, hey, I'm not doing, and some of y'all probably are. Some of y'all are probably telling everybody that you come in contact with how much that Christ loves them and that He gave His life for them. I'm just saying that I'm not. And just like I say on Sunday mornings, to realize that you have a need and not get it taken care of while you're here, that's crazy. God's pointed to me in my life and said, look, you're doing some things, but you're not doing some things. There's some people out here that's lost. You don't have to go far to bump into people that don't know Jesus Christ. You don't have to go far to bump into people that you say something about going to heaven, and they got a completely different twist on what it takes to go to heaven. They don't understand. You know what? That's where it's mine and your job, to tell them about Jesus Christ, to tell them about this great love that nobody could separate them from. Look, there is nothing wrong with me telling a deer tale. There's nothing wrong with me telling about Silas playing basketball or my girls playing. There's nothing wrong with me telling people how good things are at church, how good things are at your work and my work. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm just saying that we're really quick to tell those things, and we're keeping the best to ourselves. I mean, we've got such a gift in Jesus Christ to give other people, and we're not giving it to them. I understand it's hard for me. It's hard for you. I don't mind, you know, I don't like offending people. I really don't. I'm not one of those people, and I think y'all can maybe say Sometimes I say things when I'm preaching, and people probably go, whew, that was a little tough. I try to stay right here. I try not to get my opinion too much. But if I say it and it's a little tough and it comes from right here, then I just have to say, God said this was sharper than any two-edged sword. It's going to cut coming and a going, you know. That's not me saying it. I'm giving you what God said. But sometimes, you know, I know sometimes we say stuff and it's a little bit, I don't like to offend people. That's not what I go to do. But sometimes I think that we sit back so much and worry about so much about offending someone that we hide the best gift in the world from them in Jesus Christ. We don't tell them. I mean, we don't have to be a Bible thumper. You don't have to throw your Bible at them. You don't have to knock them over the head. You don't have to do any of that. You just tell them what this gospel says, and then you let God get in there and get to working on the inside, because he can do way more than we can anyway. He can do a mate when they go home and go to bed tonight. He can still be whispering in their ear. But look, Paul says that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. How long has it been since we really had a love and a desire? I'm talking about, like Paul's talking about here, a continual heaviness to see somebody come to know Jesus Christ. I've got a little glimpse of it from time to time in my life. But to stick with it and to say, you know what? God, you open the door and I'll go through it. God, you lay it out and I'll do my best to witness. God, you show me who to talk to. Well, guess what? Everybody that he puts in front of you is somebody that you can talk to. Well, I don't know what to say. Tell them what Christ did for you. That's the best thing in the world. Hey, you can get in here and you can read Romans to them. You can tell them about Lazarus being raised from the dead. And you know what? Even some of those things that we've heard all of our life, I would still get the details wrong. But you know what? I will never get the details wrong to what happened to me when I was 7 years old. I was there when it happened. I guess I ought to know. I was there the night that Jesus Christ come into my heart and forgave me of my sins. Some of you, man, you have experiences that would blow the lid off of other people's minds. They'd just be like, you used to, and God done. And they might not hit their knees and get saved right now. But you know what? It's not your responsibility, nor is it mine, to produce results. It is our responsibility to throw that seed, let God give the increase on it. So in the middle of a trial, and I believe Paul was being in the middle of a trial right here, even though he was giving us these scriptures, these promises. But in the middle of that, he says, but I still want to point people to the cross of Christ, to what changed my life. I'm going to tell you tonight that I need your prayers as your pastor to have a love for the lost. I've got a love and a desire for this church. It's amazing. I know I've told y'all this umpteen times, but I was going to come down here and give it to y'all. You can preach it hard and go to the house and pray for you real hard. And then God just began a work in my life. And I'm so thankful that God put us together. And I've got a love and a desire to see this church just blossom and bloom. And it's going to be so amazing what God's going to do here. But I believe that one of our missions should be, one of our goals should be to become a place where when lost people walk in this place, that they feel the power and the presence of God and they receive salvation. Hey, the decorations are beautiful. I love them. The pews are beautiful. The songs are beautiful. All that's beautiful. But if we get all of that right and we get it wrong to tell people what Jesus Christ can do for them, then we've missed the mark. God help us, that no matter what we're going through, that we bring you glory and we point others to the cross of Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. God, I'm so thankful for these promises that you've given us in your word. God, I'm so thankful that nothing can separate me and you, that God, that I am secure in your love and I'm secure in my salvation. God, I'm so thankful for what you've done in my life and I'm thankful for what you're doing at Fellowship. But God, I pray that as we leave Fellowship, that the stories won't be about how good church is or how good the singing was or how good anything else was, except for how good God is, that he loved us so much that he gave his son Christ for us. God, help us to share that with a lost and a dying world. Help us to realize that every single day there are people dying and going to a devil's hell. And God, that we can be that tool that you could use to point them to the cross. No matter what's going on in our lives, whether it be good, whether it be something that we're struggling with, that we may use it, God, to give you glory and to point others to the cross. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen.